Welcome to our fourth episode of the series on incentive policies by EY India Insight podcast. I am your host, Mohammed Poonawalla, Director at Indirect Tax Practice EY India and based out of Pune. Today we will talk about incentive and policies around new energy initiatives in India. Net zero and environmental sustainability have become a boardroom discussion, wherein all companies have to rethink about the way business has to be done in the future. More importantly, investment would be required in CAPEX to make the businesses compliant with the growing need to meet environmental sustainable standards. At the same time, world's energy systems are undergoing rapid transitions. The short-term effects are resulting into price spikes. During these changing landscapes, organizations are asking strategic questions such as, what is the future of energy consumption and how will it evolve? How will that affect my industry? And what will be the impact on my budgets? To discuss this topic, we have Sagar Shah, our subject matter expert, who is a senior partner in Indirect Tax and Incentive Practice of EY India. He is the pioneer to introduce end-to-end automation in global customs and trade. He has also extensively worked on various economic incentives for EVs, electronic goods, auto and its components, batteries, green hydrogen electrolyzers, etc. Sagar has rich experience to advise on incentive structuring, which helps clients claw back a portion of the CAPEX cost. Hi Sagar, thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you, Mohammed, and it's a pleasure to be sharing insights and talking on this very futuristic topic.
Sagar, businesses are taking measures to reduce carbon emissions in their operations and make it environmental friendly. At the same time, is it possible to claim incentives and subsidies?
Absolutely, Mohammed. I believe that this is a big shift to net zero emissions required, and it requires a lot of strategic investment by the government. If these interventions are not there, how will you really push the private sector to invest and do something beyond what they are doing? So the clear intent here is to say the how does the government really promote and support domestic industries and also have global players to come into and to look at R&D, innovation, creating the infrastructure. So these are critical elements. And if you really see how this is not about India, if you see some of the countries globally like US, which wide its Inflation Regulation Act, approved a budget of $394 billion on tax credits and incentives. Similar thing that we are hearing about things happening in UK, Germany, Australia, and so on. In fact, let me tell you that Germany today produces 40% of its energy from renewables. And again, it is the government has made a specific act there, Germany, the German Renewable Energy Sources Act, and it has provided various incentives which are there. So clearly it was imperative for the Indian government as well. And I think it's a very important statement which is there to say that we are supporting today the entire country when it comes to providing incentives and subsidies. Then there are regulations in relation to that and a lot of positive branding in terms of recognition for the entire environment sustainability agenda that the country is having and the companies are expected to do.
So Sagar, has the Indian government set aside a budget for all these measures you spoke about?
Yes, of course. If you see, there is a total budget and there is a project site. There is a PLI scheme, which has about 19,744 crores, which was kept aside for the National Hydrogen Mission. And there is another 35,000 crores which has been allocated in the budget of last year, where it was mentioned it is more going to be an offtake. So we see slowly and steadily, the central government has been pushing this, a lot of incentives and outlays already been defined. And in addition to that, the states are also supporting this. So over and above India being a federal economy, over and above what the central government will do, the states would also have a similar manner in which they will be having incentives, which will they be keeping aside budgets so that industry can really come up in different baskets which are there.
Interesting, Sagar. So can you deeper dive on these topics for our listeners?
Surely, Mohammed. So if you see, when I'm talking of incentives and very specifically from an India perspective, let's look at this into three broader baskets. Okay, one is where we are talking of incentives which will be based upon, say, a certain number, maybe a revenue or production which is there. then you're looking at some regulations which will be actually supporting or needing companies to do certain things, which will be in effect supporting this entire agenda. And then we are talking of recognition for the branding and labeling and certain things, which will actually induce even the end user to do certain things, right? So broadly, if I have to talk about these three baskets, and I think the most critical one is obviously what are the incentives which are there provided by the center and the state in India. I think largely, if you see, there are clearly the production-linked incentives, which are those made for larger companies, larger manufacturers, say in the green hydrogen, electrolyzer, or such space which is there, or the advanced chemistry cell and solar, where you will see a lot of incentives so that it's in line with the Make in India initiative, where we are looking at more and more manufacturing happens in India. And then there are various things, various other incentives, which we'll talk about when we are talking about offtake. So how does the user really start looking at this in a different manner, where a buyer believes that he should purchase goods in this sector and he gets also an incentive for doing something which is more environment friendly. So there are schemes like the carbon credit, green credit. There are various schemes, and we'll talk of this in little detail when we are talking of the National Action Plan on Climate Change, NAPCC. And then various other things like incentives under waste management and benefits under various agricultural programs. So there are many benefits which are there across different things, and which can be probably are not only for the producers and large manufacturers, but probably across the stakeholders.
Sure. So starting with the production link incentives, Sagar, can you briefly touch upon the larger scheme and the sectors covered under the PLI?
Sure. So PLI, I think the production link incentive scheme, and this is one of the most talked about, the important thing that has been done by a government over the last few years. And amongst the various sectors which were there, I think clearly under the National Green Hydrogen Mission, the government has allocated a budget, which is clearly there, the 19,744 crore that I was talking about. It is for production of green hydrogen and manufacture of electrolyzers. It is for pilot projects. It is for research and development and various components. So I think this is very interesting in terms of the various schemes which are there. Now, if you see, what is it that the government is looking at? The government is clearly intending to say that any company who wishes to invest into green hydrogen or electrolyzers, largely, or green ammonia for that matter, there are broadly the parameters are to say that what is the amount and capacity of the investments which are being proposed by the companies and what will be the local validation. Obviously, as I was talking about the Atmanirbhar Bharat that we are speaking about, you need to look at to say that how much of this is going to be end-to-end be manufactured in India. And that's what is going to be critical. And basis that, there is a bid process which is there. I think the first scheme has already been closed on both green hydrogen and electrolyzer. And I think it has been very successful. A lot of companies who have applied for, and basis the RFP which was there, many companies have got selected into the scheme. And then we are having now the tranche 2. Which will be there for green hydrogen and ammonia sometime. And there is a tranche 2 electrolyzer, which in fact will close on 30th April 2024. There will be new schemes relating to, and the pilot project that I was talking about for steel and shipping and R&D has also been announced. And again, this will come in sometime. How companies have really responded, what are the benefits into it to specific sectors.
Agree, Sagar. And on the part that there are a lot of regulations around this, and someone needs to monitor them very regularly.
So, Mohammed, let me just add something to it. See, regulations in terms of what you need to do, yes, it will be there. That's going to be critical, because the intent is that you need to have the right players to announce the capacity. These are going to be high capex investments. How these are going to be supported? And so that the right players come in and the right players get the benefit, basis the commitment that each company will do. And that's going to be very critical to see this. I think the interest and intent of the Indian private sector has been extremely good in terms of what we are discussing over the last year and a half, if you have to talk about, since we really started discussion on PLI. So it has been really good, but I think regulations will be required for each of these schemes which we are talking about. And also, let me add, it's not only central government, but it's even the state government who are doing a lot of things on that. So if you see three states broadly, Rajasthan, Telangana, Andhra Pradesh, and many states like Orissa, Karnataka, also pushing for the entire scheme in terms of how this can be really going beyond what the center is giving to say, can we look at a loan subsidy, or can we look at a refund of taxes paid and consumed in the same state, or on the capex invested. So whenever such benefits are there, you will look at regulations which will be critical to say that finally the end result in terms of what was expected has been achieved. That's what broadly will be there.
After what you spoke about, Sagar, I feel these initiatives and subsidies are a big boost by the Indian government, which could boost the private sector investment in this segment and assist towards energy transition and environment protection. Can you briefly touch upon the other sub-schemes in each category you mentioned earlier and answer mainly three questions which our listeners would like to understand? Who are eligible under these schemes? What are the regulations required? And what are the broader benefits involved in these schemes?
Yeah, so I think a lot of questions in your one question, Mohammed, but let me take it as it comes. So I think the most interesting one, and if you see when we speak of PLI, it is obviously intent is to say who are the larger players, who will invest, and the ecosystem gets developed around it. But the point is that it's not only about larger companies who will be investing and getting the benefit out of this, but I think there are a lot of things like the carbon credit trading scheme, which is going to be really different as compared to the PLI, which is not yet notified, but it will happen in some time. Now, who is going to be eligible into this? And that was your question. I think there'll be various entities which will be identified under the Energy Conservation Act. Typically, if you see the sectors which the government, and it's not only India, let me clarify, it's global to say which are those sectors where the focus is. It's about steel, cement, fertilizers. You know, some of the sectors where we have seen over a period of time that probably the largest support right now, or the largest focus required right now, is going to be on these sectors when it comes to energy conservation. Now, what are the regulations involved? Now, entities would have to set a target to say that how will you reduce the greenhouse gases emission, okay? And you'll have to give a monitoring plan. So this is going to be very important in terms of how this is and how this will be calculated based on the direct and indirect emissions. So all these regulations will be in place. What is it that each company will have to do? How are they monitoring and how are they actually reducing the greenhouse emissions? And this is the basis of which they'll get such benefits. And what they will get in return is to say they'll be getting some carbon credits, which will be like a traded scrip that we are talking about. And this is what is going to be helping them in their business. So it's a very great way to incentivize the industry and really push this entire agenda when it comes to environment sustainability. So I believe that this is something which is over and above the PLI schemes that we are talking about.
So, Sagar, by what you mentioned, I understand is that only some designated sectors and entities are eligible for this carbon credits and can be eligible to obtain these scrips. Am I right in my understanding?
Yes, to a larger extent, what we spoke about, it will be for the larger industry, larger companies. PLI would have very limited entities. Probably the carbon credit would have a larger basket of entities and probably anyone who is in that sector that will be there. But let me tell you, there is something which probably would be applicable across the length and breadth of the country when it comes to something that we call as the green credit rules, which will be now, again, not yet notified, but this will come. So this is going to be where there's going to be a competitive market-based approach for incentivizing any environmental action that we are talking about. So this is probably that we are waiting to look at, and this probably would help everyone in the country to really look at this green credit benefits.
Interesting, Sagar. So can I as an individual obtain such green credits under the green credit rules you mentioned?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's the most interesting part. This is what we see right now. If see any person who takes any measures voluntarily or as an obligation, he or she will be eligible as an entity or even as an individual. So look at it, it's going to be like a domestic platform created for scrips which are traded. And what positive actions you have to do, it can be like tree plantation, water management, waste management. You're looking at conservation across maybe a mangrove conservation or a sustainable buildings in the real estate sector. So there are multiple things which are there and you will be getting benefits, including a sustainable agriculture for that matter. So all these things, basis activities which will be notified, and there'll be standard norms which will be notified. Once these are notified, you will be looking at How do you fulfill? What are the regulations? And if you do that, and you have to track and record the activities, and basis that, you will be eligible to green credits. And this is going to be something which will give a big, big boost to the entire country to do something positively in this area which is there.
As you mentioned, Sagar, there seems to be about 7 sub-schemes under the Green Credit Program, and each having its own qualification, procedures and measures to determine and calculate the positive environmental action, basis which the green credits would be issued. That's quite a lot of schemes, Sagar.
So, in fact, let me tell you, if you see the NFECC that I was talking about, the National Action Plan for Climate Change, it has 8 more sub-schemes. And waste management has further 6 schemes. So if you see, there are multiple schemes and each of them having different kind of eligibility criteria, where finally what the intent is to say that how do you bring a positive environment action? If you are able to do that, then each of these can culminate into different potential incentives. So the waste management and its sub-schemes that I was talking about is not only about incentivization, but also there are regulatory requirements like manner of disposal of certain hazardous and notified materials, so on and so forth. So on one side, there'll be incentives, but other side, if you don't do certain things, you can be penalized for that. And this is going to be very important to say, it can't be only on one side to say that it's not like a choice to say you do certain things and you're going to get benefits, but there will be regulations to say if you do not do certain things, then you can be penalized for that as well. And that's something that all of us will have to understand, that this probably is going to be more like a compulsion as we go ahead.
Sagar, waste management is quite a vast topic and area, and applicable to both individuals and organizations. What is the length and breadth of coverage here?
I think a very good point, Mohammed. And generally, if you ask anyone, when we talk of waste management, people would only think of, say, plastics largely, or would think of some chemicals which are there. But let me tell you that it is not only this. It is about construction and demolition waste. It is about electronic waste. It is about solid or semi-solid domestic waste from various sectors. It is about also how do you utilize some of these things, that can you look at using plastic for tomorrow, say, road construction for that matter.
Thanks, Sagar. And I think there is a lot of regulations and incentives, subsidies at the international level, which is going to impact India as well. Can you briefly touch upon this topic as well?
So let me tell you, when we talk of incentives, probably when you're looking at India outbound, not much other than what will happen, which is normally happening in the country's foreign trade policy. But let me tell you some very critical aspects on the recent thing which has happened in EU, and which is about to say, if you're exporting any products like cement, fertilizers, steel, then you need to comply with regulations, which is called as CBAM, or Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism. Now, this is extremely critical to say that EU has specified the acceptable level of CO2 emission in each of the manufactured product which is getting imported into EU. What it means is that any manufacturer in India who is exporting currently anything out of these products, he will have to mention that what is the amount of CO2 in the product which is being manufactured, which is typically to see that ensuring that the least amount of emission has gone into products which are exported from any country to EU. And let me tell you that this is already been there. The voluntary compliance has already started from October 23, and from Jan 26, it is going to be mandatory. So it is important to for the Indian industry to wake up to say that it is not only about Indian exports to EU, but now you are competing not only in Indian companies, but any global companies, not only on pricing, but only on emission. So just to give you a small example is to say, when you are, say, a steel manufacturer, the energy that is using, which is, say, thermal, vis-a-vis if he moves to renewable energy, his emission is going to go down. So this is what every company will have to think to say that, how do I move more to the renewable energy, which will help me reduce the CO2 emissions. So those kind of thought process and investments would have to be required for everyone. And today, it are a few sectors, and it's going to be probably spread over to all the sectors over a period of time.
You mentioned January 26, Sagar. That's 2 years from now and a very short period of time. For anyone who wants to redefine or remap their processes and put it in place, especially for novel topics like measuring CO2 emission and accounting for them,
Yeah, I agree, but I think that's the speed at which we are looking at. So it's going to impact supply chain, procurement, everything. So a lot of things have to be done, no doubt about it.
I'd like to thank you for the time, Sagar, out today and providing your insightful thoughts on this very to interesting topic. Thanks, and with that, we have come to an end of this episode. There are other episodes in the pipeline that will focus on other states and other sector-specific incentives. Please do let us know in case you want to hear about a specific topic. Thank you for listening, and this is your host, Mohammed, signing off for the day.